It's Kirk Morrison.
Hour number two here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. Rich down in Kansas City getting ready for the NFL's off-season extravaganza. The NFL draft. The crown jewel of the off-season. The NFL draft. So, Rich down there. We catch up with Rich tomorrow. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on how round one shaped up. I'm looking forward to some of the trades. I'm looking forward to, I guess, the fanfare. Last year was my first actual draft experience, being in Vegas, being there and watching the picks and then, you know, interviewing the players afterwards. So fun time. And I'm glad that the NFL can keep this NFL draft moving. You know, this year, Kansas City, next year, Detroit. So we have Detroit back there. They haven't been away. They had a Super Bowl back in 2006. So
Jerome Bettis Bowl.
Jerome Bettis Bowl. Yeah. So they'll have that. So 844-204-RICH. Watch us on the Roku channel, channel 210. Listen on SiriusXM, channel 218. XM, channel 202. Stream free on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. On Instagram, at Rich Eisen Show. And also on Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. I put the number out there, 844-204-RICH, because with the NFL draft, everyone watches for different reasons. Some fans watch because you watch to see who your team's going to draft. Some people watch to see the new talent coming into the NFL. Some people watch their favorite player who they've watched from high school to college to now to the pros. I know for me, what I love about the NFL draft is because I always say it's about hope. The NFL draft is hope. Yep. You hope that your team drafts a player that can be a piece and getting you to a Super Bowl, getting your team to a Super Bowl, or a team or your guy gets drafted that you can follow for many years to come. And a lot of times it's about the quarterbacks. The NFL draft is built on quarterbacks because that position is the most important position in the National Football League. You've got the right quarterback, you're doing pretty good for yourself. Just ask the folks down in Kansas City, right? You could take some chances and hit on some gems, right? Last year, I talked to general manager Brett Veach for the Kansas City Chiefs. When you've got Patrick Mahomes, you can hit on a Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round or a Jalen Watson in the seventh round. You got two starters in the seventh round. We'll talk about first-rounders, and they're hitting on late-round picks because they've got the quarterback. They don't have the glaring needs. And so that's why I always say tonight I watch with a different type of eye. And that's why I know what do people watch when it comes to the NFL draft? Are you watching for your favorite player? Are you more intrigued about what your team is going to do? Are you more intrigued of where do the quarterbacks go? Why is Chris Brockman watching the NFL draft tonight?
Well, I'm watching to see what my team does. Mm-hmm. Obviously, first and foremost, the Patriots pick 14, so I'm really curious about what's going to happen there.
At 14. Do they stay at 14?
Do they stay at 14?
I think that's the intrigue, too.
A lot of rumors swirling.
I know.
The one yesterday that they're going to trade up and take Will Levis?
Will Levis. I saw that one. Where does that come from?
What?
Who says that?
Where does that come from?
Yes.
I saw the Ringer guys were talking about that. I could not believe that is an actual positive. What was a bunch of picks and Mac Jones. The number two?
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know what I would do if that happens.
But that's the intrigue, though. So you're watching to see what your team does.
So I'm watching to see what my team does. Obviously, we're huge NFL fans here. So I'm looking at the new influx of talent that's coming into the league. Mm. A lot of big names, a lot of big stars from big star-making college football programs, and they're going to teams that really need them. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, obviously, quarterbacks rule the world here, but Bijan Robinson's going to be a big star. Will Anderson is going to be a huge star. So is Jalen Carter. And then there's obviously people we've never heard of that is going to come out of nowhere here in this first round.
The Brock Purdy's?
There will be people drafted in the first round today that are going to go, what? That guy? Like Cole Strange last year, a Patriots pick.
Right.
Never heard of the guy. First round pick, had a really good rookie season. Okay. This is what happens. I love that you said hope. Hope is the perfect word to describe the NFL draft because right now, TJ, every team is 0-0. Every team has, quote unquote, an equal shot to win the Super Bowl next year, to make the playoffs next year with the seven teams now. We're in year three of the seven playoff teams. Every team's got a shot. hope springs eternal, and that's what the NFL draft is, and I love every second of it.
What about you, Del Tufo? What do you watch the draft for? And don't say you start filling out the game that you'll be mixing come the end of the year.
Oh, that's his answer, Kirk.
Look at this. Look at this.
That's his answer.
Oh, how many games, Carolina Panthers games, will I have now?
No, I just like the waiting. Having mixed drafts and done a ton of them, yeah, and been at them, I like when you don't know, and you don't know who's there. Tonight's going to be crazy.
Right.
Because really, we don't know.
Yes.
The first, we really don't.
We don't.
We could think, right, we know. Like Chris said, I mean, we all kind of can guess, TJ, you, me, yeah, we can all. But what I like is that waiting, because you're sitting there, mm-hmm, and you're waiting, and all of a sudden they come out, and you see that player, and they're like, oh, my God. And I like the fact that they don't, like, tip the picks as much as they used to.
Right.
Where you don't know what's going on. And that's the cool, I love that. And then you see those kids, and you're like, that's the last time he's a kid. He's a man when he, yeah, leaves that stage.
Once he throws that hat on, yeah, you're right. I never thought about that.
You're a man when you get off the stage. And that's what I love. I think that's the best.
Yeah.
That's so special.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Good call, Mike.
I never thought about that, but they're like they're kids in that green room.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they put on that hat. Boom. It's like an instant, like, boom. I felt that way last year with Aiden Hutchinson. Like, Aiden Hutchinson was like this kid, you know, Detroit, he's excited. He put that Lions hat on, and all of a sudden, oh, he's a grown-up. You're a grown-up now. Like, it's just, welcome to the National Football League.
Yeah.
It changes that fast. What about you, TJ? You're watching tonight, obviously, as a Cowboys fan. Where did the Cowboys pick at, by the way? 26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the draft is always this, because, as I said in yesterday's show, I love stories. Like, I love to hear the background. I don't love mock draft season. You know, I don't need 3.0, 4.0. I like when, right, we get to know who these kids are as human beings, you know,
correct,
their family situations, what they had to overcome. And, yeah, you know, some of them had the luxury of having, you know, like 8 Mile, you know, living in at home with both parents, and their, yeah, parents have a really nice marriage, you know, and some people have that, but they still had to work and grind. And you have other people who come from single parent households, who came from the mud, who came from nothing,
yeah,
and have their whole family on their back, their whole city on their back. And so for me, it's always kind of like, to piggyback on Mike, that moment when they get those names announced, man, it's just like, I know that, like, I've never reached a professional sports level like you, obviously, but I spent hours upon hours in my room shooting little Nerf shots, going to a park, you know, throwing a ball against the wall, shooting jumpers. So, and I did that on a very micro level. So you understand what it took,
right,
the amount of sacrifice that these kids had to make to skip the parties, to skip going to McDonald's, to, yeah, like, no, I got to go to the gym. No, you go hang out. I got to go work. So knowing everything it took for those guys to get their bodies and their minds right, and to know that the second that their name escapes the commissioner's lips, their lives, for better or for worse, are changed forever. Everything changes, yeah, for them. And that, to me, is, you know, I get excited to know that, like, you have these young men who now, like, they have their whole lives, their whole futures ahead of them, and the possibilities are endless. So, like, that's why I love the hug with the commissioner. I love the whole thing of, like, now your life's about to start, and there's going to be some great stuff and there's going to be some bad stuff, but this is the moment for you. So I just an all-encompassing thing, man. It kind of gets me emotional thinking about these guys who they sit there and they break down and cry, because only them and their moms and their dads and their family knew what it took to get them up on that stage. And to me, that's the most beautiful thing about this whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, all of that. Like, the one thing about the NFL, too, is this influx of talent is all of these new stories, right? All of these new stories of players coming in. We'll get a chance to learn them. I know I had a chance to talk to a beat reporter a while ago, and I always said, you know, I know you love your job of what you do, but why is a draft so fun? And I remember she says, well, it's fun because I know the players already on this team currently. But because every year I'm going to have to learn 30 new players in terms of the offseason free agency, the NFL draft, and then the undrafted free agents. So these are new stories that I'm learning about this kid or that kid. Like, I liked, you know, meeting Will Anderson at the combine and speaking with him a couple of times there, and then in between, and then even yesterday. People don't know he's the youngest of five with four older sisters. Mm-hmm. So you think, like, here's Will Anderson, the baddest dude on the in terms of coming out of college, you know, the defensive player, maybe the first defensive player taken. He's got four older sisters who used to pick on him.
And he was on like our show the other day. He said he had four moms, and that's exactly it. You're the youngest boy with four sisters?
Yeah.
Yo, you got five moms in this
five moms. Yeah, exactly.
So they used to pick on him a little bit. They said, they don't pick on me now because I'm a little bit bigger. But those, like, are the stories that you're like, man.
But guess what, Kirk? I bet you his older sister can still get him to flinch.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
She can still hurt his feelings.
1,000% she can still get him to
flinch.
Trust
me, I'm watching it now with my daughter and my youngest. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still know how to flip, you know, to get underneath
you
that
take your heart
skin.
Early, man. It's hard to get it back.
But, like, it's just watching those parts of it that that I'll be watching when it comes to the draft. The thing that intrigues me the most tonight is a specific player. I had a chance to, when I first saw him at the combine, I had never seen him. You watch guys, and look, I do college football, right? You know, one of the things I love doing is before a game, I like to size guys up. You know, I'll take a little walk on the field.
Just to see.
Let me see if this dude is real.
Let me see how I tackle this dude if I had to. Yeah.
I remember a year prior, did an Oregon game. Let me just see this Kayvon Thibodeau guy. I'm like, hey, this dude's, he's legit, all right? He's like Kayvon Thibodeau. Seen him.
I guess especially when you look at the linebacker, right?
Because
you know what it
takes. I look at the linebackers and, you know, the defensive ends. And I remember when Bradley Chubb when he was at North Carolina State, and I walked down, I said, okay, yeah, that is a first-round pick. Like, because there's a list of guys. I'm like, okay, who's the draft-eligible players that, you know, possibly could make noise in the 2023 NFL draft? So I have my list of guys, and I'll go down and watch. And I remember this past season, getting a chance to see some of the, I think I saw Will Levis the year prior. I'm like, and this is before all the big hype train came. I'm like, wow, man, this dude is, he's pretty built. Like, this could be like the guy. And so I'm watching like all of these players, but I had not done a Florida game. So everyone keeps telling me about the size of Anthony Richardson. He's this. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll see. I go to the combine. He comes to our set, and I'm like, whoa. defensive ends were yesterday, buddy. It's like, no, he's quarter. He's 6'6", chiseled, deep, you know, Barry White type voice, but he can be a leader, authoritative. Hey, you know, like, strong. And so he's a guy to me that I want to see where he goes in the draft, because of the quarterbacks, he and Levis seem to be, I won't call them projects, but the guys who you can't really pin, like, okay, he for sure is going to make it. I think we all say, hey, Bryce Young has proved enough in college that we believe that they'll be successful. C.J. Stroud, same thing. We've seen enough in college that we think that he's going to go to a system and he can make all the throws well. But when it comes to Levis and Richardson, those are the two quarterbacks. And then no one's even talking about who's the fifth quarterback. Who's the fifth quarterback in this draft? Is it Hendon Hooker, right? Kid out of Fresno State, Jacob Hayner, who I saw him demolish my college, San Diego State, so many times in the Mountain West. Is he a guy that can come in? Because now I'm looking at, like, the Brock Purdy situation in San Francisco, who nobody thought that Mr. Irrelevant last year would have an opportunity, and yet Mr. Irrelevant has made Mr. Number, number three. Yeah, number three overall just
that
a couple years ago.
They traded a ton of picks for.
Think about Zach Wilson and Trey Lance aren't going to be starters in the NFL this year. Think about that. Like, they'll start if somebody's injured, but how quickly this thing is, how quickly it goes by. So that's why I'm watching tonight. I want to see where Anthony Richardson goes. Obviously, the team that drafted me, the Las Vegas Raiders. I would love what do the Raiders do at pick number 7. So all the trades, all of that coming up tonight. I can't, like I said, I'm excited. As soon as I get done with this show, like, I'm going to pregame a little bit. I'm, you know, relax.
Oh, yeah.
You know, have a couple of adult beverages.
Get your mind right.
And do you stay off of Twitter or you stay on Twitter? Like, what's
For NFL draft day.
What do you do?
I don't like being tipped. I'm with you, Mike. I don't want the pick tipped.
Okay.
So, but I still want to see what the chatter is on Twitter. So right. I try to stay
clear
5 minutes behind. Mm. Like, I want to watch. I want to watch the commissioner announce the pick, and then I want to see Rich and DJ and Joel Klatt and Charles Davis. I want to see everybody talk about it. I want to see the interviews with the kid. And then I want to go on Twitter and be, you know, 5-10 minutes behind to see what everyone else is saying about it. And then off Twitter, pick, rinse and repeat.
Right.
That's kind of how I like to do NFL draft night, because I don't want to be spoiled. I want to be like, oh, and then Albert Breer's like, oh, and the Cardinals are going to trade down and take so-and-so. It's like, oh, man, I want to see that.
You
going to
throw Albert Breer under the bus?
I don't even know if Albert does that.
Breer.
just threw Albert Breer under the bus.
I don't even know if he does it anymore, but I know that he used to.
But you'll be on Celtics Twitter tonight, though.
I'll be big time on Celtics. I'll be complaining about the officials on Celtics Twitter tonight.
All right.
Make no mistake about that.
We got Howard Beck coming up at the top of next hour. He's going to give us all our NBA information that we need, because there is one NBA game today. So we'll talk to him about at the top of next hour, Mike Lombardi, the general manager, former general manager, who drafted me. So see if we can squeeze a Kirk Morrison story out of Michael Lombardi next hour as well. And Chris Brockman's top five. We're going to do that in at the end of this hour.
Oh, I got a top five things I want to see tonight, baby.
Oh, okay.
Hey, let's go.
Top five things that he wants to see tonight. But coming up next, Rich, before he got out of here, before he got to Kansas City, he had a little interview with Jared Padalecki. And we'll have that interview for you coming up next here. The C.W. Walker actor star coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobleproject.com/NFL to see how Noble forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to The Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by Noble called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/RichEisenShow and youtube.com/RichEisenShow. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Check out who is here in studio, a man who is playing the role of Cordell Walker in Walker, new episode airing tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CW. New episodes air every single Thursday through the season finale on May 11th. Jared Padalecki, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you back, Rich.
You just were kind enough to say that you would wear a suit running a 40-yard dash, which, as you know, is the logo of this show.
I've seen many of your 40s.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And they look exactly like the logo of the show, which is standing still.
Yeah.
Which is not moving.
You broke 6 seconds. What was your best?
My best was 5.94.
Yeah, and you broke
what
6.
What year was that, Chris? I don't know. It's not like
It was a little while ago, but Michael Johnson, that was the year that he trained you.
Let me tell you something, Jared. The number of people who have kindly offered to train me for this 40.
Yeah.
Who put their reputations on the line to train me for the 40.
No pressure.
Who I wound up sorely disappointing by the end. I've lost track.
Hey,
but Michael Johnson is the pinnacle, with all due respect to everybody else who's kindly trained.
He's incredible. Yeah.
And for me to let him down, when it was all over and I called him, I just had to call him up and just say, Michael.
I'm sorry. I'm sure he wasn't anticipating you running like Michael Johnson. Because no one can, you know? So I don't think...
I should have looked at it that way, but I just didn't I didn't have that perspective.
It'd be like getting acting lessons from Daniel Day-Lewis or something. It's like, I'll let you know. You're not going to be me, but I'll I'll tell you.
I actually run my 40 like Daniel Day-Lewis in my left foot. It's terrible.
I like that.
Is that good? Look at me. Just good. I'm kind of going all full good. Circle here. I did just run it, and the results of this year's run is showing up on Saturday's NFL Network draft coverage.
I love it. I'll be watching.
So thank you. I appreciate you.
Hey, I just
that.
Heard something. I'm sorry. I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan.
Go for it.
Born and raised in San Antonio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I just heard. I didn't hear the news until
yes.
I was in the green room
yes,
about
sir.
What was the press conference?
The Cowboys had a press conference the other day and said that they were willing to maybe trade. I mean, they didn't say anything. Nobody says anything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
they did. He did. Jerry Jones did kind of make fun of Mike McCarthy walking out the door.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He did.
All right.
You know, the boss making
yeah,
a joke.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if we could. Can we re-rack that maybe in a second here? Let's see. Mike Hoskins wasn't expecting to do this. But, I mean, you know, what if. So who's the showrunner of Walker, for instance?
Walker is showrun by Anna Fricke.
Okay.
And funny enough, Anna Fricke, I knew prior to Walker. She's written for many shows.
Yes.
She wrote Valor with Matt Barr before
okay.
we worked together
so
on Walker.
So now you're a look at you all together.
Yeah,
again.
But fantastic. Her husband, Jeremy Carver, had run a show I had done called Supernatural for about 3 or 4 of our 15 years.
So she's the boss, right?
She's the boss.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's just say there's a press conference.
Yeah.
Okay, you're sitting in between
Anna Fricke.
Anna Fricke and whoever's the second showrunner, if there is one. Let's just say.
Let's
just
call
put it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a press conference. And she makes a joke at your expense. This is basically, do we have it now? This is the end of the press conference with Mike McCarthy. What is he supposed to do?
You can read all the mock drafts. You can see all the things that maybe were officially polled quietly by other general managers.
Would you look like Mike in the middle right there?
I think so.
Decision if we say, hey, here's an opportunity.
Listen, he's doing his best Belichick.
Yeah, we had quite a bit higher than
here it comes.
Where he's fallen to now. It might be worth considering giving up something.
Well, I made one on Manziel a few years ago, and that didn't go so well.
That's true. Okay. So he's making fun of himself here about Johnny Manziel.
6, 7, 8 picks out. And, you know, we always ask the question, what would it take to go up and get him? Does it take your bottom of the second round pick to go get him? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, we'll have that conversation.
Go.
So,
drafting's not our problem. Coaching is.
Yeah. He's got to get everybody.
Wow.
There you go.
And walks off with it.
To walk off.
It only would have been better if he would have grabbed the mic and just dropped it and
but
walked
see,
off.
Now, what if your showrunner made for it? You'd have to sit there and take it, right?
Yeah, like I think my general rapport is a bit lighter than Mr. McCarthy. So I often ask people to make fun of me. He was it literally looks like he was trying to do his best Bill Belichick.
Well, one thing for sure is he definitely didn't think he was about to take some shrapnel.
No.
But
maybe he knew. Maybe he was kind of.
Oh, my goodness.
It looked like he was dreading what was to come.
So you're from San Antonio and you love the...
I was a lifelong Spurs, Cowboys, Longhorns.
Okay.
And then my commitment was kind of split between the Rangers and the Astros.
Okay.
But I think I was kind of born into... We probably watched more Rangers than Astros. You know, it's 3 hours north to Dallas or 3 hours east to Houston. And so we'd see games for both teams. And I was born in 82, so... It was a great time to be a Spurs Cowboys fan. You know,
sure.
We had the 90s and the Cowboys, and then we had the Spurs we had, you know, Kerr and Twin Towers and Avery Johnson and Sean Elliott.
Right.
I got to beat a few of the games.
Sure,
so.
And everybody's now going to the Hall of Fame. Tony
oh,
Parker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Minu.
And Pop now is going. Sure.
Yeah. He deserves to be way up there.
Sure.
We were at the, our buddy Chris Bosch, who lives down in Austin, he and his wife Adrian and their kids, we're all friends, and we got to go to last year's Hall of Fame induction as their guests.
Damn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, pretty cool.
Do we make this about us now, right now, Chris? Should we do this about us?
Okay.
So,
of course,
Chris Bosch was on this program.
When?
Right before his induction.
Before his
a couple
Hall
months
fame.
Before.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
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 So, he told us how when he was recruited by, Pat Riley.
Yeah.
To come
he gave the speech.
To Miami. That Pat had a Crown Royal bag filled with championship rings, and he gave one to Chris, you know, one of his own personal rings. Gave one to Chris to say, hey, you can get one of these when you come here.
Yeah.
Chris had the ring, and I told him, wouldn't it be great if at the Hall of Fame ceremony you give it back?
Yeah. Look at that.
That's what he did.
Well done. Well
See,
done.
A story told by our guest about someone else. made about us now. That's our special magic that we pulled
amazing.
Here, Jared.
Yeah, it was an amazing speech as well.
It's a special magic.
Yeah, it's a special magic.
Fantastic.
Yeah, full circle.
So are you Longhorn because of where you're from, or did you go? Or
yeah,
what?
Well, I was enrolled to go to UT in 2000 when I graduated high school, and then I got a role on a show called Gilmore Girls out here in L.A. And
I've heard of that show.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yes, it was.
It was a good show.
It's a good show. It had a nice run.
It had a nice run. I was initially hired to do 4 episodes, mm-hmm. just guest star. I ended up doing 5 years. But I had a few grants and a few scholarships to go to UT. Mm-hmm. And then I went out to L.A. and did Gilmore Girls. And this is a strange story maybe, but I remember my first paycheck. It was because it was $1,234. You know, one, two, three, four.
Okay.
And growing up pretty simple in San Antonio, I was like, I'm rich, bitch. You know, like, so it's like, you know, UT's been there for over 100 years. I'm going to stay here, like make some ramen money.
Uh-huh.
And so,
ramen money, but, ladies and gentlemen,
I can buy my own ramen now.
Yes.
No, but I legitimately thought, you know, I'll see how far this goes and pay off my student loans, you know? And so, UT has been there for a while. I figured still be there when my 6 month stint in LA finished, and that was 23 years ago. So kind of stayed busy.
Fantastic. I love that that numerology is something that you saw.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me a story that the check was like Colt McCoy's number.
No.
Followed by Ricky Williams' number.
Well, there was no Colt McCoy yet. That was, you know, it was 23 years ago.
McCoy?
It was year 2000.
Damn.
Yeah.
How old were you when you were on Gilmore Girls?
I was 17 when I shot the pilot. I did it until I was 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Your wife is sitting here, so I can't ask any more stories.
It would have been like Major Applewhite money. It would have been like, oh, this is
Major Applewhite money.
By the way, write that down. That's a great fantasy team name.
Major Applewhite money.
Major Applewhite money. It's a great fantasy, fantasy team name. Major Applewhite is a name I don't think we've ever seen.
Oh,
here.
One of the greatest comebacks.
How much Gilmore Girls do you even get today? A ton still? Or are you just such a grown-ass man now that you're somewhat unrecognizable when it comes
You know what's
to
funny
that?
Is that I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
A lot. When I was on Gilmore Girls, it was, you know, whatever it's called, not TiVo.
Yeah.
We can record it and watch it. And so I didn't see a lot of the episodes. I just kind of went to work.
Pre-DVR or anything
DVR. Yeah,
sure.
There was no Netflix.
TiVo, though. I think that's Major Applewhite.
That's
era.
Major Applewhite. Yes, exactly.
Recording, yes. Right.
So I didn't, it wasn't really a big show at the time. Yeah. And I didn't see a lot of it. I was busy auditioning for other roles and this and that. And so it was after I left Gilmore Girls that people would start coming up and saying, oh my God, Team Dean or Team Jess or whatever.
Yes.
I was like, oh wow. Like I think I got recognized a lot more. And since I think pandemic, a lot of people binged it.
Oh, definitely.
Because it's such a family friendly show that if you're sitting there with your kids and you can either watch an animated show or something that you would also enjoy. And so it's kind of made a return, so it's been fun.
That is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Who's the, I guess, least expected fan of Gilmore Girls to reveal to you?
Oh gosh,
I was a fan of Gilmore Girls.
Okay, Jared. I was at a ball. I shot a movie in Richmond, Virginia, when it was a pretty dangerous spot. This would have been 2003.
Okay,
and there was a bunch of us. We were all early 20s. We were playing like prep school kids, and it was a kind of horror thriller called Cry Wolf. And we had areas of like, it was low budget. So like, hey, don't go to this part of town. Don't go to Tobacco Row, blah, blah, blah. Y'all should stay around here. Like, yeah. Long story short, we ended up filming at a location that's near one of the dangerous spots, but we're like, hey, it's almost closed. Let's just get a drink at a bar. Like, it's going to be fine. There are 6 of us. We walk in. As soon as I walk in, there's this big, scary looking dude. And he just immediately kind of latches onto me. And I'm thinking to myself like, oh God. They told us not to go here. This is how it ends. Like, this is how I die. Because he wouldn't stop staring at me. And so I would do the thing where you kind of like, you look to see if, you know, I was like, hey man, like trying to be as, you know, meek as possible. And we go order our drinks and sit down at one of the tables. And he's still kind of like just mad dogging me. I'm like, what did I do to the guy? Like, man. And, you know, maybe 10 minutes passes and he gets up and he starts walking over towards me. And my heart, you know, like I gotta change my underwear. And he kind of gets over and I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna get beat up. And I would just run, mm-hmm. but there were like young ladies. And so I was like, I can't like leave them to get beat up. He comes over and he kind of looks around and he looks really suspicious. And he leans in and goes, you own the Gilmore Girls? I was like, yes, sir. And he goes, oh, I knew it. It's him. It's him. He goes, you know, I had a, yeah. So I
another round.
Yeah, I think I swiftly went to the bathroom, threw away my underwear. But that was probably one of the strangest. But I've met a few. They kind of run together.
I love stories like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of big. I think a lot of manly men.
Yes.
Types. Their spouses would watch it with their daughters, and so it'd just be on in the background, and they'd maybe sit down and watch it. And so
this Gilmore Girls is not too bad.
Look at that. Yeah, it's coming around.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
I have a similar story to that at the Super Bowl a few years ago between the Seahawks and the and Chris Brockman's Patriots.
Yeah.
That it was Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Doing a halftime show. And my oldest son, who's now 14, was about 7 or 8 and loves Katy Perry.
Sure.
And that's, you know, I keep reminding him, like, hey, you know, you were at the Super Bowl where Malcolm Butler picked off Russell Wilson. It's one of the greatest
depending
Super
on who
Bowl
you're
moments.
A fan of.
True, exactly. Yeah. But still, it's like one of the, like a top 10 moment in the history of the Super Bowl. Like, you were there for that.
Yeah.
And all he remembers is Katy Perry. But anyway, long story short is, so he was just dancing his head off, like up and down the aisle, going crazy.
The shark suit, right?
The left shark one. Exactly. That was the famous
like
left shark one.
Like the car show
oh
shark
suit. Oh, my gosh.
Suit.
So anyway, long story short is halftime's over. I'm sitting in the stands with my fam.
Yeah.
And some Patriot fan just up the aisle, like, looks at me. I look at him, and he calls me over, and I'm like, all right, I'll go up to him, and I say, hey. And he says to me, hey, your son is a heck of a dancer.
Really?
And honestly, I thought, like, it's going to be like, what do you think, second half we're going to do this or not? No.
Similar
to the same thing, although I wasn't fearful of my life throughout the entire situation.
I got a quick, that's amazing. I got a quick question on that note.
Yes.
You're Pete Carroll.
Yes, sir.
What do you do? Second down. You give it to Marshawn?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
they made the right decision.
He's a Patriot fan.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Fair enough.
So I guess.
Fair enough. Exactly. Depending on who you're a fan of.
CW's Walker is, yes, again airing tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, yep, on the CW. New episodes air every Thursday through the season finale on May 11th. Mm-hmm. So, Jared, let me ask you this. Do you think we should get Arch Manning this fall or what? Because it doesn't look like you're going to. It looks like it's.
Well, we're, what, 27?
Quinn Ewers, right? Isn't that what they're talking about right now?
Yep. Oh, really? So, yeah, I've been. I don't want to say blissfully ignorant, but
it's okay. But you got Arch coming. I mean,
I can't wait.
Royalties coming.
That's awesome.
So are you like a big, you know, Bevo guy and just go to the
games?
Yeah.
All right. I am. And actually,
can you get Bevo on an episode of Walker? What do you think?
Oh my God. Yeah. Once we find out about next season, maybe we have to go save Bevo. We met. Speaking of bees. Very different. But
nice.
Our son. We have two sons, 11 and 9. Our daughter is 6. And our son Tom, he was being coached by one of the Longhorn backup receivers.
Yes.
And Bijan came to a game, and like it's just in a field by Austin High School.
Hold on a second. Give me this story again.
So our son was playing flag football.
Yeah.
And,
age 9.
He was probably 10 at the time.
10. Okay.
He's 11 now.
Yeah.
And Bijan showed up to come and like talk to the kids and give them little bits here and there and signing stuff and taking pictures. And he was like throwing the ball with the kids and running around.
This is what it's all about. And I was talking about it earlier this week, Jared, is that this is a metric as far as I'm concerned, whether you want to draft somebody.
Yeah,
I understand
that
we're playing football. We're trying to win.
Sure.
But it's also like you want somebody who's going to be out in the community.
Yeah.
And that you, when you're sitting there, at 2 or you're sleeping at 2 in the morning, the phone's not going to ring.
Ring, yeah, you know? That's we had a few of the bad ones, like, you know, T.O. in his later years. And
I mean, he's I'm thrilled to hear that story. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's sweetest
pictures
guy.
And everything you got.
Tons.
Sure, your kid still talks about it.
Absolutely. And we got to buy some of his mustard. I haven't tried it yet. But
by the way, great name, Bijan Mustard.
Bijan Mustardson.
It's good. That's it. That's what it's called.
But yeah, just a class act. And that's, I mean, you know, being a Cowboy fan lifelong, that's why I love, like, Dak, you know?
Of course. Absolutely.
And I'll shout out to your boy Brady. I know he went to Tampa Bay, but seems like a nice guy. Seems like,
yeah,
you know, famous
absolutely.
As all get up. But
So congrats on the success of Walker.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Come back anytime.
I'd love to.
Seriously.
I'd love to. I'll bring Matt Barr back.
Matt, absolutely. Bring him back.
Yeah.
He got married. Is what you said?
He got married last weekend in Mexico. So I think we're still detoxing.
Destination
from it.
Wedding.
It was a destination wedding, and it was a hell of a gang.
Let me ask this question.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there.
All right.
Now, I know your wife is here. Sorry,
she's beautiful.
What's your wife's name again?
Genevieve.
Hey,
back off.
My wife and I go to a destination wedding.
Yeah.
I say.
Okay.
When she says, you know, we're going to get him a gift, I'm like, why?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to their wedding.
Sure.
On a flight.
Yeah.
And hotel
room. Getting
rooms,
a hotel room. Uh-huh.
All of that. Shouldn't my presence be my present?
That's good.
And
that's a dad joke right there.
It's the truth, though.
It's good.
It's the truth. Yeah. Let me just put it this way. We still got something off the registry. I don't win this battle.
But yeah.
Are you thinking the same thing? I don't mean to get in the middle of anything right here.
I don't think they have a registry.
They didn't?
They said no gifts.
No gifts.
There you go. Thank you.
So you're off the hook.
I'm all about
giving. What's the matter with the bars?
Yeah,
we'll
do something for them. Well, you know, they're both adults and very successful in their careers, and I think they were saying, you know,
you
like
you could still use a plate or a fork or an urn.
Fruitcake.
Still need it. You still need
an urn. Jesus,
an urn.
That might be the wrong message.
I'm an urn.
Oh, I was thinking like
a
why don't we buy him a casket?
A ewer.
A vase.
Quinure. You need a quinure.
I'm not even sure what that means. God bless you. We'll send them a bottle of champagne or something.
They have a wedding website, like everyone does now.
Did you look it up?
I'm on the registry page, and it says, we kindly and respectfully request no gifts.
No gifts.
Your journey to celebrate with us is more than we could ask for.
Look at that.
See? I love the bars.
These
are good people.
How can you
not? Because they don't put it on me to say, come to the, our wedding, get a hotel room.
I wonder, what about something for the effort
on top of it? Come on.
What about like birthdays and like Valentine's days? How are you and your wife about gifts then?
We're good with gifts. Sure.
Good with giving them or not?
Giving them what to each other?
Yeah, because we kind of have a thing. December is a big month for us. We have one of our kids' birthdays, Christmas. Her birthday is in January.
Oh,
and then there's Valentine's Day in February.
Yeah.
And then our anniversary is the end of February.
Oh my God.
So December, January, February are pretty big. And so we're always kind of like, hey, let's just get a bite to eat somewhere. Like, let's take each other out for a date.
But then
we say that, but then on her birthday, she wakes up early and she's looking around like no, I'm just kidding. She's not like that.
I made the huge mistake of the first holiday season after we got married.
Yeah.
My wife needed a laptop and she was talking about it. So I got her a laptop for the holidays.
It's very romantic.
Yeah, I haven't.
Was it the wrong laptop?
I've gotten.
Did you go PC instead of Mac, or Mac instead of PC?
Didn't matter. It wasn't the choice of laptop. It was
you should get our gaming.
I just got married. What do I know?
At least
I'm not buying people for their weddings because they're making me get on a plane.
Yeah.
So what am I talking about?
Your presence is the present.
At JarPad on Twitter, right?
Yes, that sounds right.
Okay. At Jared Padalecki on Instagram. Everybody check out a new episode of Walker tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on the CW. Let's do this again soon, sir.
Absolutely.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Well, listeners, in case you didn't get enough sports today, here's an ad break that'll tell you how to watch even more sports. YouTube is the new home of NFL Sunday Ticket. And if you sign up now, you'll get our lowest full season price of the year. Just go to youtube.com/presale to get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket. Watch your favorite teams out-of-market Sunday afternoon games exclusively on YouTube and YouTube TV. All right, enough about sports. Go get more sports. Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends June 6th. No refunds.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has three great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number two expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany, the budgetista Alice, and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
All right, man, we got to get to this top five.
Let's do it.
Because I'm ready to roll. Let's go to the top five.
Let's do it. Let's get to it. Oh, yeah, we don't have any animation. So here we go. All right. NFL breaking news, guys. Breaking news. The NFL first round draft is tonight.
Oh, that's breaking news?
Yeah, breaking news. In Kansas City. Okay, so here are the top five things that I hope happen tonight.
That you hope happen.
The top five things I hope happen tonight.
Number five. Number five.
We're going reverse order, TJ. I know you hate when we start with one. We're going five first.
Why even have the list?
Why even have the list? Number five, I want trades.
Yes.
There were nine in last year's first round, including A.J. Brown, the shocker. A.J. Brown going from Tennessee to Philadelphia. Mm. How'd that work out?
How'd that work out?
He was awesome last year.
Yes.
I want tons of trades. I want lots of movement. You've already heard the rumor. Diana Rossini saying that Tennessee is talking to Arizona about moving up to three. C.J. Stroud is now the betting favorite to be the third overall pick. Is that the move? Is Tennessee going to get C.J. Stroud? I want the Patriots to move up. Kirk, did you hear that crazy we talked about earlier?
Yes.
Did you hear how crazy that was?
I did.
The Patriots package a bunch of picks and Mac Jones to go to number two for Will Levis? Yeah. My head will explode like the TV show The Boys, okay? That will be insane if that happens. What are the Raiders going to do? Could Detroit or Washington or move up? Dallas, TJ, are you guys going to move up? What are the Bills going to do? I want trades. I want movement.
I agree.
Want chaos tonight. Yes.
I might know, but I ain't telling.
Yeah.
That's number five.
I like that.
Number four. Now, I don't mean this like personally against any of these guys. Okay. Any of these five quarterbacks.
I got you, Giannis.
It's nothing against them.
Okay? I got you, Giannis.
Thank you. Yes. Hold on. Let me put my. By the way, we didn't mention. Do you see how giant Giannis' hands were when he put his head? Okay. I hope one of these quarterbacks falls, and I don't mean that personally against them. But remember the drama when Aaron Rodgers was just sitting in the green room, the Brady Quinn. Johnny Manziel, everyone's just sitting in the green room.
Geno Smith had to change outfits for the next day.
Geno Smith literally had a suit on for day one, and then in day two, he had the Carlton sweater. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, like, I want the drama building when we wait for one of these guys. I don't know. I don't care who it is. Is it Levis? Is it Anthony Richardson? It could be any of these guys. Hendon Hooker. There's just the drama that builds around these quarterbacks because the draft is really all about them.
Right.
Them just sitting in the green room and then the speculation. Is this the pick? Is this the pick? Is somebody going to trade up? That makes for really great TV and it makes for a fun night. Number three. I want a pick from so far out in left field that Rich and everybody on the desk are utterly speechless. Remember a few years ago, like, Mayock couldn't even get out a word on the desk because he was so shocked. Last year's Cole Strange pick.
Yeah.
I want something like that. Something so outrageous that nobody saw coming that everyone just looks at each other like Joel Klatt just goes,
What?
I don't even have this guy on my board. You know what I mean? Like something wild like that.
That's like the biggest roast ever. Like, I don't even have him on my board. Like that's
what? I had this guy as a day three pick. What? 27? That's what I. Okay, that's number three.
Got you.
Number two. This is personal. I want the Patriots to do something fun. Just something fun. I don't want Cole Strange. I don't want a minivan type player, and I really don't want to trade down. We need to be moving up. But there's Bill and Nike. Bill needs to. Was it Son of Sam, Mike? His neighbor's dog was talking to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Nike the dog is talking to Bill. I want Nike to start talking to Bill. Take over and make some crazy. Is it trading all these picks and Mac Jones up for Will Levis? Great. Let's do it because that's fun. This is a hope night, Kirk, as you said.
Yeah, it is.
And I need to be inspired. Bill Belichick, I'm talking to you, Bill. I need to be inspired, okay? You're on the hot seat. You're coaching for your job this year, and it starts tonight. Do something.
We all saw Bill Belichick's kitchen a couple years ago. Trust me, that dude ain't nothing inspiring about that.
Do something tonight.
Remember when he had at home draft and had the cam and yeah. Was that in Bill's house?
He was in Nantucket. I think it was the beach house.
Yeah, it was the beach house, which is very uninspiring.
Take off like your sweatpants and your Nike Air Monarchs and do something fun.
Oh, you said the Monarchs.
Number one. What all right, you number got, one. Baby? Number one.
Number one. Okay. Where were you first draft night? 2003. You remember what happened 20 years ago?
20 years ago.
The Vikings missed their pick.
They missed the pick.
They missed their pick.
They didn't turn the card in.
And then chaos ensued. That's yes. What I want tonight. On the 20th anniversary of the Vikings missing the pick, yeah. I want it to happen again. Somebody misses a pick. You only yes. get 10 minutes. That clock ticks down. Hey, what? The Eagles didn't get the pick in. Yeah. What? They didn't get the pick in. And now the Titans are on the clock.
Yeah.
And then just chaos ensues. Someone to miss a pick. Oh, it hasn't happened in 20 years. Let's go. Don't let me down tonight, somebody.
Yeah. I think we need one more.
Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, one more. I remember chaos.
I want to piggyback on this if I could. Whoa. Just a little bit. Okay. I'll make this quick. Last January, we were talking about Kenny Pickett, right?
Yeah.
You don't know this, Kurt. And Blackman was convinced. He was convinced upon he just knew that Kenny Pickett was going to be a top 10 pick.
I,
and me,
I knew it.
I didn't believe it because I wanted him to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, stay in town. So I made a bet with Blackman. We made a bet together whether Pickett would go top 10 or not. He went 20. I won the bet. So one thing I would personally like to see happen maybe this year is Brotman finally pays me for last year's Kenny Pickett bet. Kurt, I still got my $20, dog. Like, it's been over a year. I don't want to have to call up my Samoan friends to go get the money, but at this point, I don't know what else to do.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
In the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union started developing directed energy microwave devices. And even to this day, the United States government is still continuing its research into high-power microwaves. It is nothing compared to what China is doing.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.